How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything.
It's Pharrell on the bench in the biggest way possible, hanging out. The bad seed, a broken eight, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad under bad taste, bad lie, bad dude, bad bread, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Pharrell Appalachia, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny loves that critical mass. Check out, ooh, when she's drinking shots of JMO in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh, people dressed in plastic bags, directed traffic, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do better. On the finna come around, floods of party up, rats on the west side, bedbugs uptown, what a mess, this town's a tatter, my brains are splattered all over Manhattan, should do be shake out. Ooh. Hey, what's kicking? It's Pharrell with Carver High this evening. And we've got Fins up 21-7, 8.5 left in the third, in Jacks in the Thursday nighter. And then we've got the Lakers up 5, 60-55 in game 4 in the Western Conference Finals. We got our eyes on this game. Obviously, AD had a big first half, 19 points, 7 of 10 from the flow. LeBron, 14, 4, and 5. He's 5 of 11. He hit a 3. Dwight Howard has 11 points and 10 boards. The double-double. Getting involved, the big fella, and 10 from Kyle Kuzma, who's been non-existent in the series and in the playoffs overall, right? Bottom line, he's done jack. Tonight he showed up. That only took a couple months. So then for the Nuggets, you got Murray, 16. He had a ridiculous reverse layup, windmill style, under the basket. Pimp style. Joker with 10 and 3. Grant with 10, 1 and 1. Nobody else has done that. Porter's got 7 and 4 boards. So we got a lot going on here tonight. Graham from Athletic in Buffalo.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Thank you.
Yeah, my boy had the critical mass going tonight at the Varela Palatial. Showed up. He had a whole thing going, man. I told Carver, hi, my guy had three steam trains going. He had the whole team. He had a bench, salary cap. I had three different locomotives. I was like, what's going on there, bro? I was like, wow. He goes, look at this one. I go, what is it? A second one? He goes, yeah, it's like from Canada. I went, what? He goes, yeah, it's got this like brown tip on it. Check it out. And I'm like, that's incredible. And then he goes, look at this one. He brought one out. It looked like like a steam train going through the Rocky Mountains. I was like, what is going on, dude? Did you draft these guys? I hope people understand what I'm talking about. So anyway, corndog. I took the Lakers tonight, Carver High, because I just felt like everyone was, and I could be wrong because I'm wrong 30 times a day on average, that the Nuggets, because they should have won game two and that they won game three and that they, remember, they blew a 20-point lead, I think, the last time I was talking to you, and then it was 18, then 20, then they blew both of those, but they won the game, and it got down to three, and they won by eight, so I think everybody was on that six tonight. I think, and I don't do the whole, I'm not a Mr. What's the public doing? I'm going to go the other way. I'm not that way. I just feel that most people were going to go that way. And I just wasn't. And it had nothing to do with them. I was just like, I think they're mad that they got, that they only played for 12 minutes. And I feel like they didn't play hard for, 36 minutes. I thought they just went through the motions, which is unbelievable to me. But I think the Celtics did the same thing last night against the Heat. They just kind of took the entire first 24 minutes off and were like, don't worry about it. We'll be in this game. We'll be down one or two at the end and we'll either win it or we won't. They played like that. They played like a team that was satisfied with doing nothing, going through the motions and then turning it on in the fourth quarter and being in the game, which is the kiss of death. I think it's a kiss of death. I believe in teams that actually go 48 minutes. And then when it's at 36 and they start shuffling people in and out for some burn, some minutes to give rest to the stars, if you will, that's in essence what they're doing, that can work for 48 minutes. I don't see any reason, Carver High, to slow down or to take a break or to, game manage or load manage or whatever you want to call that stupidity. I want guys that have a plan and an attack that lasts 48 minutes. It's no different than back in the day, 40 minutes of hell in college, right? It's the concept of just going wall to wall, belly to belly. We're going to go out and we're going to play relentlessly for the whole game. And if you can't go more than 7 minute stretches relentlessly, then we'll take you out at five and put somebody in that will. We need guys that go like, it's no different than hockey. A guy that can go that 45 to a minute shift nonstop for the whole game for, 60 minutes. I'm not talking about like this guy that shows up for 1.5 periods or 2 periods. I need a guy that can go in his shift hard the whole game. You know what I'm saying?
No, you're exactly right. You need to be able to go cover to cover. And we've heard a lot about conditioning and things like that from a bunch of these teams that have now made it a little bit further into the bubble. The Lakers, of course, have talked about conditioning a lot. You were reading the box score before. There was one thing that jumped out at me because we talked about this on Coast to Coast yesterday after game three about how all those guys didn't get on the boards the other night. AD, right. AD with another donut in the first half, no boards for Anthony Davis in the first half. After that performance the other night, not on the glass at all again tonight. Can't have it. Can't have it.
Dwight Howard has given him 10, and then nobody else really has done. Millsap 4, Porter 4. Nobody else in the game has done jack. LeBron's got 4. It's been total Dwight Howard on the glass, and it is what it is. Guys that play defense and guys that rebound and guys that block shots are the reason why teams win games. That's it. That's the difference. Like last night in the game, am I wrong? The difference was the turnovers by the Celtics because they shot better from the floor, better from three, but they turned the ball over so much that they lost the game. That was the difference. How do you outshoot somebody? How do you shoot a high percentage and rip threes and do everything, but you lose the game? Well, it's because you either turned it over, had it stolen, or you fouled your way out of the game and gave them tons of free throws, right? That's how you lose when you're up in the box score with all the numbers and all the scoring and everything else. But it's the little things, the turnovers, the rebounds, the free throws, all those little things. You know, those turnovers killed Boston. That's just all there is to it. And then tonight, they started Dwight Howard, which was an adjustment, right? That was a coaching move by the Lakers staff with, you know, the whole thing, Kidd, Vogel, all of them. And they put it together to like, we're going to start this dude because he's in Joker's head now. It's become a topic of conversation in the media. Everybody thinks that Dwight Howard is under his skin, right? And then maybe it's true tonight. Jokic came out and did nothing for literally the first, the first quarter. It was embarrassing. He really did nothing. He ended up with 10. That's where he's at now. But he didn't shoot a lot. He had 6 shots. He hit 2 threes. So he had, 6 points right there. But he came out, and that's everywhere. That's into the third quarter now. So in the first quarter, he did diddly. He didn't do anything. And I think a lot of that was, crazy Dwight Howard getting all up in his business. Totally getting in his business.
Yeah, you're right. Clearly a little bit in the head, you would think, after what went on. And he did not play well in the first half. They've come out now here in the second half. I expect this game actually to go down to the wire. I really do. This will show me something. And Nuggets ever get this one tonight, maybe you can dream, Scotty. Maybe you can. All the Laker haters out there, maybe they'll be able to dream.
So you're hoping, and I can appreciate that, you're hoping for a Nugget win, a steal, 2-2, and then a miracle win the series.
Well, look, if it's 2-2, you still obviously are going to lean that the Lakers are going to win 2 out of those 3 games. But at least the Nuggets have now put it in the mind that maybe they can get it done, especially with how they've played in Game 7s already in this playoff. They've already won 2 of them.
This is a terrible call here. Did you see this terrible call?
I did.
Look at this call. Look at that call. That's just an absolute Oscar-winning performance by Pope. And the ref fell for it. And then your boy Millsap had to leave the game. I can't believe he's not getting teched up right now either, because he's just freaking out on the ref. So's Malone. And he's like, just shut up. One more word out of you and you're getting teed up. One more word. So he didn't tee him up. Still a 5-point game. 10.5 left third. But, it is what it is. They're having trouble getting good shots off. I'll tell you that much. Denver's doing a job on them here early in the third, what I've been seeing. Now, I got to be honest. I watched on and off. I was busy. I was watching the Dolphins as well. And I was, I had a lot going on over here. I had a lot going on, and I had to get the show ready and everything else. I was doing all kinds of stuff. So I just started really getting into the game now in the second half. I watched it, from a distance. I had it going. I knew what was going on. I knew Jokic wasn't scoring. I knew Dwight was getting rips. I saw Dwight have that follow, dunk, rebound, and the foul. And I saw the Murray reverse layup. I saw everything I needed to see. And really now, it's about, for me, Grant hits a 3. It's about stops now, because now it's a 2-point game, and it's about getting stops. 10 left, third. You got to make stops, and you got to make buckets, and you got to take relatively decent looks. You can't just chuck it. Like you get the bomb 3 from Davis. I mean, it's a dangerous way to make a living, having him become a guard, which is what he's doing now. He's shooting wing and perimeter downtown straight out jacks and hitting it. But do you really think he can just keep hitting threes the rest of this game, the rest of this series? That's his game now, 25 feet out?
No.
Because that's what it looks like to me. I come from the side of the river, Green hits a 3. I'm from the side of the river, says, let's get this big fella down in the block and get him dunking, or get him doing that turnaround mid-range he's lethal at, or going elbows, driving, getting contact, going to the line. He can hit free throws. They want LeBron and him at the line more.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, for all on the bench, 70 to 65 Lakers, that's happening. And we'll keep our eyes on that. 28-7 Dolphins now on the Jags. On Coast to Coast today on Sports Grid TV, I told you I was on the Dolphins to win outright and getting the three. So let's see if they can finish off this big lead that they have right now. And that's really on their D because Fitzmagic's done everything to get this job done tonight and keep the job, obviously, because you got Tua over his shoulder and fans want to see it. Media wants to see it. But Fitz is doing the job. In their first two games, they were close, but no cigar at the end. I thought that, you know, he threw the pick in the end zone, whatever, in week one. That would have covered. And then last week they were in the game as well against the Bills. So tonight they look like they deserve one. They've played way better than the Jags. Tim Graham does the Tim Graham podcast now. It's everywhere podcasts are available. He's also obviously covering the Bills for The Athletic, and we always like having Tim on the bench. How you doing, brother? Everything good?
Yeah, Scotty, I'm doing all right. Bills have given the folks here in Western New York a lot to talk about. Maybe people getting a little overexcited and thinking about booking their flights to the Super Bowl and all that stuff and buying the Josh Allen memorabilia for his MVP season. But it's only been 2 weeks. I hate to tap the brakes and be the curmudgeon, but I keep warning Bills fans, let's just enjoy this without throwing extra expectations on Josh Allen and thinking that this is now going to be the norm, that a guy who's never completed really more than 50% of his passes all of a sudden is going to be a, you know, Ken Anderson out there.
Do you think that people are freaking out because for 7.5 months they've been trapped in their own prison and that all of a sudden somebody has something to be happy about in Buffalo is the Bills winning two games and it makes you just want to drink booze and run naked down the street, that it's something to be happy about in the COVID? Months.
It's not 7.5 months. It's the 20 years.
Oh, 20 years.
You know, people are writing columns about how the Bills have finally found their next Jim Kelly. You know, it's been a long time since they've had a quarterback that they can really rally around. And, you know, we're watching, you know, Fitzmagic have fun out there against the Jacksonville Jaguars. And everybody who has ever come into contact with Ryan Fitzpatrick loves him. He's a great teammate. You know, the whole thing. I guess there was the time when they had Doug Flutie for a little bit and Drew Bledsoe, you know, they squeezed an extra season out of him, but they really haven't had anything like Josh Allen since Jim Kelly. And that's the low bar though. I mean, Josh Allen's first 2 weeks have been historic. You know, there are you putting him in the same sentence as Patrick Mahomes, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady for the hottest starts to a season. And then I did some digging on some numbers and I found that not only is it just 2 weeks to start a season, but any consecutive weeks, there is a very short list of guys who've done in back-to-back games what Josh Allen has done in his first two games. So let's not discredit that. But still, Josh Allen just 3 games ago was throwing the ball all over the place, and I don't mean in a good way. I mean slinging it behind his back and fumbling and trying to lateral and doing all kinds of crazy stuff, throwing to his fullback 20 yards downfield into double coverage late in the game against the Houston Texans in the playoffs. So
right.
I'm not ready to say Josh Allen has figured it all out, but it has been fun to watch through a couple of games. And you're right. Those Bills fans have waited a long time for something like this to be excited about.
Well, I mean, everyone deserves to have their little alcoholic moment with their football team and start getting crazy when, listen, you're covering them, right? And so you've covered them for a long time, in essence. And do you feel like when you're walking over there into their, you know, world and into their practices and into their games and seeing the organization now with Sean running it, do you feel like you're around a winner finally, and that you've got a hot commodity on your hands to cover?
I do, Scotty. And it's been that way for a while. It's not just now. They've gone to the playoffs two of the last three seasons. Now, granted, Sean McDermott's first season, 2017, they backed in. They had to get, you know, super lucky with Andy Dalton completing a miracle pass to Tyler Boyd to beat the heavily favored Baltimore Ravens for them to get into the playoffs. Last year was a legitimate, you know, playoff season. They clinched with a couple of weeks to go in the season. They beat tough teams at home and on the road. So they've been building a program here, and it does feel different than anything else. It's making it feel, and I guess I'll take, you know, a moment to say, or for my credentials anyway, is that I covered the AFC East for ESPN for 3 years,
right,
which means
right.
I haven't just covered the Bills. I've been around Bill Belichick's program. I've been around Bill Parcells' operations with the Miami Dolphins when he was there. You know, I've seen different organizations and how they operate. And this really does feel like one of the better operations I've been around to cover. You know, it is a culture thing. I know there are a lot of people out there that don't believe in culture. I, for one, do. Sean McDermott has set the tone. Brandon Bean has done a masterful job at gathering the talent that's been needed,
right.
both in the draft and through free agency, everything. So yeah, it really does feel a lot different. And it feels different on the field, at least through these first couple of weeks, watching a guy like Stephon Diggs make the plays that he's made. You know, Bills fans just aren't used to seeing that type of thing.
Right.
They've had good players here or there. But when Josh Allen can throw it to three or four different guys, we're talking, you know, John Brown is an impressive player in the NFL. Cole Beasley is probably an underrated slot receiver. And then you add Stephon Diggs to it. And it seems like no matter where Josh Allen's throwing the ball, guys are just making the plays. And it's one of those deals where you sit back and think, you know, this is, you know, like when I covering the Bills for as long as I have, you'd get done with your story. And the goal was to get done in time, file your story. So that way you and your buddies that also cover the team
right.
could get to the bar to watch the Sunday night game. And
right.
during the Sunday night game, you see the highlights from the day because we're focused on that Bills game. We don't get to see all the highlights.
Right.
And then we'd sit around the bar and say, oh, this is what football is supposed to look like. The Bills seem to be playing that brand of football. It's like, oh, this is what football is supposed to look like. This isn't Chan Gailey's head coaching. This isn't Doug Marrone. This isn't Rex Ryan. This isn't Dick Geron. You know, this isn't Greg Williams.
Jesus. Oh my God. Listen to him with all these coaches they've gone through. Let me ask you before we get into the Bills a little further, let's take a break from all that. Cause I'm overwhelmed by your development as a human being. I really am because I've known you since you were a young kid and I was a young guy and now we're old men and time flies when you're having fun. So let's go back to another time. Let's let people in on, the young, devious alcoholics that we were, when you and I were in Las Vegas and we were covering, big prize fights and, you know, the best boxing anyone had ever seen before in their life. Like I remember outdoor fights, they don't do those anymore. I was, there for everything. And so were you, but tell people, like, give people an idea of like what you and I were like in a hotel suite after a fight, when we started drinking and then kept drinking until the next day. Just tell people the truth of your previous life before you became a professional. He won't even do it? Did we lose him, Carver High? Jesus, what could be worse? Was that not just like someone stole my car? I went to the drive-thru. I went to the drive-in. I went to the drive-in movie theater. I went up to get popcorn, and I came back, and some dude stole my car with my chick in it. I mean, honest to God. Hey, listen, Graham, just tell me exactly when you lost me. Tell me when you lost me. What was I saying?
I think I actually missed all of it because I was talking when I lost the signal.
So are you kidding me? So he didn't hear anything I said? Okay, this is the worst. No. I feel okay. So I just told a story that I went to the drive-in movie theater. I went to the stand in the middle with the food to get my chick some popcorn and a hot dog and a beer, and I came back and she was gone with another guy in my car, never to see her again. Like, and the guy stole my car. That's how bad it was when I talked this story. And then you weren't there when I went to you to ask the question, and I threw it to you with the funniest question ever, and you weren't there. It was the biggest. It was like car theft. Auto with the guy taking my chick too. So let me start over. Now I don't have enough time to tell the story. So now you're gonna have to stay for another segment. So I'm gonna tell the story
did
right now before I go to break. I never got the car back.
Did you get your car
this
back?
Is an example. So he's not following me, Carver High. What happened is I was telling this story about you and me. And when you weren't there, when I asked the question of you, it was like getting my car stolen at the drive-in theater with my chick sleeping with another dude in the car. So when you weren't there, that's what it was like, getting my car stolen. But no, that it did not happen, but that's what it felt like. Okay, because I had the greatest story ever. You didn't hear it. And then I threw it to you for you to respond. And I was laughing and you weren't there. And I was like, did that just happen? I'm standing naked with my pants down and my chick's with another guy in my car stolen and they're driving to California. I'll never see him again. So I'm going to come back and tell this story again because I have to. Right, Carver High? I really do have to tell it. It's a great story, and then you, when I threw it to you, it's the worst feeling in the world. I'm scared my bets aren't hit tonight because of. I brought it back. So what I was saying was, and I kind of want to do it if I can in any twist at all, a different way. What I was telling the story about Tim Graham was, as Tim has evolved into this great journalist, and he's an old man now, the family, he's got the whole thing going. He's still writing. He's writing better than ever. He's doing his podcast. He's got his, all his priorities in line and everything. I said, but there's got to be a point where you just stop and reflect back to what a complete alcoholic he was with me when we were young, when we were in Vegas and we were just getting hammered at boxing events after the fight in like my suite, like we would drink for like 8 hours straight. And there's no way that he's ever forgotten that. There's just no way. I know that as life has gone on and he's become so sophisticated, there's got to be at least one time in his life that he thought back to, Jesus, I used to party with that guy like a rock star when I was young. So tell the truth about what you were like when you were an animal before you became this, savoir faire. Now that you're, up there with the bigs and you're hanging out with, Bill Belichick, and you're hanging out with, going to big games and Super Bowls and everything else and covering the East and covering the Bills. But talk about when you were just a boxing and a writer in Las Vegas and you like to tie it on with Pharrell.
Scotty, I don't think I've changed at all. So, in fact, I've gotten better at it. And I don't mean like smarter at it. I think it's like my liver is a finely honed organ that just handles this. And it wasn't just alcohol either. Let's point that out. Or at least you said you wanted me to be honest. I'll be honest. It was not right. Just alcohol.
No.
And I remember one day in particular where we were where we were eating cheese crackers. Do you remember this? Eating cheese crackers. And we had these, we were just laughing at each other because we had these orange cheese teeth going.
Right.
And, you couldn't tell us anything because we were half in the bag and whatever else. And, anyways, so yeah, I do think back about that. I think about that often when I have cheese crackers. At the time that I was in Scotty and I were in his room, and we were just busting up over the fact that we had cheese crackers caked in our teeth. Yeah,
and we were hammered and high. And
I haven't changed much at all. I haven't grown up.
Good. That's good to know, because, you know, I still go to all the fights, and it's weird because there's a big fight, the Charlo brothers doubleheader Saturday night in Mohegan in Connecticut. That normally would have been in Vegas, but because of the COVID, it's changed everything. Life has changed. We don't get to go to sporting events anymore. Now you get to go to these games, don't you? These Bills games?
Yeah, I can if I want to, but I really don't see any benefit to it because everything's done over Zoom and I can do that from my armchair at home. So why drive down to the stadium, sit, you know, not just 6 feet away from my closest colleague, but 12 feet or whatever, because it's really watered down, and have to keep the mask on and you really can't interact like you want to. So I just stay at home and watch it with my son. Last week, my coworker Matthew Fairburn, who covers the Bills for The Athletic also, went to the Seneca Niagara Casino and covered it from the sports book, and just rode bets, you know, all day and wrote about that. And we wrote about, hey, if we're going to analyze the team, betting is just a form of analysis. And so if people, you know, you see these reporters and even guys on SportsCenter, they give you the picks for the game and they're almost never against the spread, which shows no balls at all. But, right. You know, they'll say, I think that so-and-so is going to win this game. Well, so what? So we get there and we're all right. Not only do I think this is going to happen by this many points, but I think this guy's going to have this many yards. We're going on prop bets. I was crossing up basketball and baseball and football parlays and doing all kinds of stuff. And we sat there and there's no alcohol on the casino floor there. And that's a pandemic type thing.
Well, it has
to do with the pandemic. There's also no smoking there either. So what we did was we just brought these little mini bottles, and I brought some that would go well with coffee and some that would go well with sodas. And depending in the morning, we went from coffee drinks, and then in the afternoon we went to soda drinks. And then we wrote some stories about our bets.
That's great. There was a bar in San Francisco called the Buena Vista down in Fisherman's Wharf, down at the bottom of the trolley on Hyde. Chestnut and Hyde was where I lived. And I used to go down to this place on Saturday and Sunday mornings, and they made the greatest, I mean, get you so Pharrell up, Irish coffees. I mean, to tell you, these things were like three shots and then a little cap off of coffee with whipped cream just pouring out of this mug, right? And I mean, it tasted so good, you wanted to have sex with it. And I would go down there and drink about five or six of them and eat a plate of food. And I would go back and watch sports. And I mean, to tell you, I was in the bag by 1 o'clock East, 10 o'clock West, because in the West Coast, the game started 10 a.m. So I'd go eat breakfast and get hammered on Irish coffees. And then when you snap out of that a few hours later, like at around at worst, the second games, at best, the third quarter or fourth quarter of the first game, you start drinking other things, booze, beer, whatever. But so when did they start putting sports books up there where you live and that you could go to and watch sports?
The state of New York, it was at some point last year, I'm not sure, but there were some casinos in central New York that aren't owned by or operated by Native Americans. The ones in the Buffalo area are all operated by Native Americans. They didn't get their license until late December of last year. So you barely got any Bills action. You know, you could bet on the Super Bowl and stuff like that. Playoffs were in full swing. So a lot of people really aren't in the swing of doing, you know, of betting that they don't know that they can even bet the Bills games, that they don't have mobile betting in New York yet, as you know. And so that was part of the reason I wrote the story. It was kind of like, hey, if you're looking for a different way to go watch the game, because maybe you're a season ticket holder who used to go to these games and you can't anymore, check this thing out. And you know, watch it here and be a degenerate like me and my buddy Matt.
And
I was going to just real quick about Las Vegas, because you mentioned Vegas in the 10 o'clock starts. I lived out there for 5 years. I didn't once see a 10 o'clock kickoff. And it was because I was doing what I do on Friday nights. There was no way in hell I was getting up by 10 a.m. to watch a football game. So, yeah, the 4 o'clock Eastern starts is about all I got.
Listen, they have a lot of people that Carver High and I know are just absolute raging alcoholics. And they, I mean, raging. I mean, till 5, 6 in the morning raging. And, like, going home in a limo or a Uber just completely shot. And they still, we see them come in all black-eyed at 10 a.m. for those games. They don't miss the – nowadays, they don't miss the 10 o'clock start. Like, every strung-out person in the world is there, and they're drinking Bloody Marys doubles to, you know, snap out of it and get their action in. So let me ask you, the Rams come in there. Both these teams are 2-0. I've read all about this is the 18th time the Bills have been 2-0. I don't care about any of that. Bottom line is – you're right about everything you've said so far. Diggs, what he's meant for him. Allen, what he's meant for him. And the reality of it is now you played the Dolphins and the Jets. Now you're playing the Rams, who are really good. It would appear that Sean McVay has his team going in the right direction again. They look fantastic in their first two wins. The opener against Dallas or whatever, and then the win against last week against the Eagles. What do you think of them coming in there? That should be a tougher team to deal with.
Much tougher. The one thing that I think the Bills have going in their favor, well, they have a few things. But I think that coming to the East Coast back-to-back weeks for Los Angeles is going to be tough. So from a betting standpoint, I would definitely factor that in. The Bills also, it appears as though their two starting linebackers who were gone against Miami, Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano, they've been practicing this week. So that's a good sign for the Bills defense, which looked a lot better in week one against the Jets than they did last week against the Dolphins. So they're returning home. They should have a full squad. I like the Bills in this game for whatever that's worth. But yes, this is by far their best test. And maybe we're seeing a little something out of the Dolphins tonight against the Jaguars. Maybe they weren't a pushover. Maybe that wasn't just some automatic win that the Bills, you know, that you should put an asterisk next to as a Bills victory, because the Dolphins are playing really well and they fought hard and Fitzpatrick has these guys believing a little bit. So, I think that the Bills might be for real. And I'm a skeptic in by nature. I did pick them to go 10-6 this year, same record as last year, but against a tougher schedule. But they, through these first couple of weeks and with, especially with what the offense has done from a timing standpoint, you talked about all these, you know, preseason games that were going to be missed. And of course the off season, because of the pandemic, not being the best in terms of getting sharp. These guys are, they look like they've been playing together for forever. And it's been really impressive to see. But, you know, the Rams and Aaron Donald, they haven't faced anybody like him. Jalen Ramsey, he's got a history with Josh Allen, a lot of trash talk from Jalen Ramsey talking about how bad Josh Allen is, that he's a fraud pretty much from last year. That's still carrying over as a storyline.
Stupid.
And it'll be, I think and let's also, you know, give the Rams credit for their arsenal that they have on offense. The Bills haven't had to face a quarterback that's had multiple options that he can go to when he drops back to pass. The Jets receiving corps is a joke, and the Dolphins weren't all that great either. I mean, Gesicki, of course, at tight end is one thing, but they've been banged up at receiver too. So you got Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods and, you know, all these guys that the Rams have been using. It's they'll have their hands full. This will be the game where we really get a good idea as to what the Bills really are all about.
So lastly, let me ask you, I got 90 seconds. How's your podcast? Do you like doing that better than doing radio every single day?
Yeah, we're just getting started, but, you know, I'm having to learn how to do video production. We're doing a YouTube thing, too, and I'm doing it all myself. You know, the sponsor came with me from the radio station, and I decided I'd give it a run and be in total control, you know, free of the FCC. and can say what I want, do what I want, have the guests on that I want, and looking forward to rolling this thing out.
That's awesome. I'm glad you're having fun. What do you drop it, once a week or more?
Twice. We're doing twice. We do a Monday show that's kind of no frills, Bills recap, and, you know, something a little extra, maybe have a guest on. And then Friday show, or a little later in the week, maybe it's Thursday, maybe it's Friday, polished more with multiple interviews, you know, getting into other sports, not just Bills. Maybe, you know, we got Sabres talk, or what's going on with the NBA Finals, boxing.
Right.
You know, all kinds of stuff. So, yeah,
you got to get it's a little Carver bit High on there.
Show on.
You got to get Carver High on there.
Willing to lower himself and appear on the podcast, I'd be honored to have him.
You know, he's a giant Bills fan, as you know, and he's afraid to bet on the Bills.
I know.
He won't bet on the Bills ever.
I don't like betting on my own teams. You know this. There's too much emotion involved with me when it comes to the Bills.
Go have another Johnny Walker. Go have another three-fingered glass. The Jaguars just missed a field goal. It's 28-13, I guess, with the extra point. So anyway, great stuff, Tim Graham. I love you. From The Athletic, Tim Graham in Buffalo. Appreciate you, brother. Enjoy the game this weekend. Got to run. All right, so Saturday night, the Charlo doubleheader is on Showtime pay-per-view. And when I mean doubleheader, I mean business. This is a doubleheader, two fight cards, three fights on each card, a 30-minute intermission in between. So they're double cards, three fights on each, five title fights. It's insane. There's six fights. Five of them are for belts. And I mean, no joke stuff. Super welterweight WBC champ Jermell Charlo taking on Hassan Rosario, the WBA and IBF champ at 154. It's going to be war right there. Boom. And then WBC middleweight champ Jermall Charlo, 30-0. Last six title defenses, four of them knockouts. He means business. Taking on Sergey Deryanchenko. That's going to be incredible. He's Ukrainian. And, of course, fights out of New York City. He is also Sid Vicious. This guy is nasty. First pay-per-view starts at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then there's a 30-minute intermission. They come back with the second card. And then remember, there's four undercard matchups across two shows featuring some of the best 118, 122-pounders in the world. You got two champs, Figueroa, Casimiro, and then you got a number one contender, Neary, who is a bad mother for Ruller, and then two WBA number two-ranked fighters in Roman and Payano, all fighting. Six fights, two cards, five title fights, $74.99. Go to Showtime app, showtime.com, or call your cable operator to order the fights. The Charlo doubleheader from Mohegan Sun in Connecticut. And it is going to be kick-ass on Saturday night. Order the fights today. All right. So just so we're clear, I have to be really clear here. Obviously, kids were in the room, or his wife or someone, because he just completely femmed out. I mean, to tell you, why do you think we were eating crackers in the room after we drank five bottles of whiskey and smoked the room out with towels under the doors? And I mean, it was suicidal tendencies, baby. Your boy Graham acting like we were just eating cheese crackers. Like, are you kidding me?
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No